After many hours of listening to the Toronto Police Service Board virtual town hall meeting deputation series, I believe it has reached a saturation point. It was said loud and clear that the Indigenous, Black, and other ethno-racial minorities are overly represented in our Canadian correctional system. Individuals experiencing homelessness also appear to be disproportionately represented by Indigenous and Blacks. The status quo of racial minorities and marginalized groups, as well as their relationships with the police, needs to change. Now is the time to stop police brutality, unnecessary surveillance, and targeting, and to eliminate stigma. My recommendation to the Toronto Police and Toronto Police Service Board is to adopt a public health model to policing. This recommendation is not entirely a novel idea. In 1986, the Ottawa Charter for Health Promotion set out 5 action areas. If fully implemented, these 5 actions could very well remedy our current state of unrest. A public health approach has the potential to eradicate the injustice in the way policing practices have been conducted. Overall, this type of approach will increase quality of life and harmonious living for all Torontonians. These 5 action areas are as follows. 1. Building healthy public health policy. 2. Creating a supportive environment. 3. Strengthening community action. 4. Developing personal skills. 5. Reorienting healthcare services towards prevention of illness and promotion of health. On a broad and all-encompassing perspective, the idea is to have policing strategies lean more towards a supportive role on matters related to mental health, addiction, and other social disadvantages such as homelessness and barriers imposed by low socioeconomic status. In an ideal city or utopia, we would not need law enforcement and policing. Yet, these are necessary services in modern times occurring in a complex social playing field. It is now the most opportune time to think about what works, or at the very least, explore what has the potential to make positive changes to policing methods in the City of Toronto. The idea of reforming Toronto police personnel and how they conduct their business is evident. However, what is not evident are some of the peripheral and highly relevant services rendered. A simple reform will not suffice because the current problems are rooted in a long history which has created a large partition between the police and the communities it serves. Best practices and practice implications at this point is to adopt a public health model for safer outcomes. Most importantly, and in order for this idea to work, adopting a public health model will require funding. I know that there has been some effort in making some changes to how the Toronto Police perform their duties. For example, the Toronto Police Mental Health and Addiction Strategy is a step in the right direction. And some of the key areas of commitment in this strategy aligns well with the Ottawa Charter for Health Promotion. I am also aware of the Mobile Crisis Intervention Team. There are some pressing concerns that come to mind about these strategies, however. And that is, what piece of the taxpayers' money was dipped into when the Toronto Police decided to put together the mental health and addiction strategy? Moreover, who pays to mobilize the crisis teams? Specifically, when a nurse is being paired up with a police officer, is the nurse funded through the police budget or are the funds drawn from our healthcare budget? And lastly, is it possible that the large police budget is the result of double dipping into taxpayers' money?